if you ask soccer people, they're like, you're a special breed. Like, how can you have a ball kicked at you? But then you go and work as a nurse and they're like, how are you going in there when there's a pandemic on? Like, you're nuts.
In March this year, Casey Dumont helped reigning premiers Melbourne Victory to one game shy of a grand final berth. Less than 3 weeks later, she had swapped the goalkeeping gloves for medical scrubs and was on the front line of Queensland's pandemic response as an on-call nurse. The PFA caught up with Casey on her 2019-20 season, a campaign in which she was voted by her peers into the PFA's Team of the Season. We chat through her off-field development and education, as well as her career as a registered nurse, how she has overcome injuries to become a W League mainstay, and the support she has received through the PFA off the pitch.
Firstly, congratulations on your award with the PFA, Team of the Season. It must feel very good to have been recognised by your peers, and you just received the trophy. It's a nice little trophy this year, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, it's a pretty amazing trophy, actually, having all the other names there too. And it's a different trophy. It's good. But, yeah, no, it was good to see that all my fellow teammates and opposition, I thought I did all right. Like, I walked away from the season happy. So that's kind of what mattered to me, that I was happy with myself. And then, yeah, to get the recognition from others that was pretty, and it was a great feeling.
Did you set yourself any sort of personal targets, I guess, going into the season as champions with Victory? There would have been a desire, I guess, as a team to, you know, do well again and hopefully challenge for the title. But for yourself, you know, going from being part of that championship team and then obviously, you know, aiming personally, did you have any expectations that you would by the end of the season maybe get the recognition that you did for the campaign?
Oh, no, I had no idea that this is the outcome that would happen at the end of the season. But obviously, like, since my injuries, I've always just wanted to make sure I get through the season and I do the best that I can do for the team. Because obviously, if I do my job right, then they don't have to worry about that. They just have to worry about what they need to do. But, yeah, I guess I always had mini goals. Like, I wanted to start every game, make sure it wasn't just for who I was and that I was performing well to be able to start the next game. Yeah, I didn't have high expectations. Obviously, in saying that, like, making the semis, for me, it's not like an overconfident thing. It's expected because of such a high standard we had last season. So anything below that wouldn't be good enough, I guess. And that was throughout the whole team. Everyone knew that what happened the season before, that was the standard now. But yeah, like myself, I'm stoked with the season I had. Like, I couldn't ask for a better season for my 100th. My goal was to hit the 100 at the beginning of the season. But no, having that feeling of, oh, I'm doing my job for the team as best I can, and it was consistent, then it was just like, you know what? It's not just that one game where I hit 100. It's that whole season that sums up, like, this is why I stuck around for so many seasons and why I love playing and why every week I love starting. So it was good as a whole personally. And that was the minimum standard, that each week it was just getting better and better as a whole. And it was a great season to have hit the 100.
Moving on to, I guess, postseason, very quickly things have changed dramatically, I guess, globally. And for you as well, things have changed. So just talk us through from the moment you sort of wrapped up the season to, I guess, you know, now and today and what the impact of coronavirus has been, I guess, on you personally. And what the kind of rollercoaster ride the last couple of months have been for you personally.
It's crazy to think, like, it's only been a few weeks, but so much has happened. So obviously in the semis, we all got the heads up, like, we weren't allowed to go and socialize with the crowd because this was only when little restrictions were coming in. And then, yeah, after the semi-final, like, a few of the girls, our extended squad, weren't allowed in the change room. So they knew who was in there and they could control any carriers and all that. And then obviously we got knocked out. The team, we had our farewell send off. stayed in Melbourne for 5 days just to hit, like, calm down and pack my stuff up. Drove to Sydney, spent 2 days there with my partner to unload my car and start unpacking. I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to go home. I haven't been home in so long, for more than 4 days. So I'll go home for 2 weeks and I'll drive my car. So I've got a car at least. And then I got here, and on the way here, my mum made me aware and my partner aware that, hey, they're thinking of closing the borders. Hurry up and get up here or stay in Sydney. And we were already past halfway in the drive. And I was like, all right, well, I'll enjoy some time off. Couldn't see my dad or anyone because I didn't want to, in case of like quarantining or catching anything. So I spent 2 weeks with my mum home, and then sitting down with my mum, I was like, there's no better time. Why not go back to nursing? And then I contacted a place I worked at before and I was like, hey, this is the scenario. I'm up here. I don't know how long I'm up here for. Do you need me? Like, I don't care what shifts I get. Obviously, if it's heaps, if that's fantastic, because I've got no other form of income. If it's not, I'm more than happy to be on call to cover anyone if you need. What tests do I need to get done? What medicals, everything like that. And within 3 days, I had all my medicals done, got my flu vaccine, got all the paperwork, and they'll like come in for orientation or learn all the policy and procedures. And within the next day, I was on a shift.
Wow.
So it happened pretty quickly, yeah. And I've been working since.
So that was from the end of the season to what, 4 days later being on your first shift?
Well, because obviously I had to do the 2 weeks of isolation just so they would cover that I've done it. So 19 days after the semi-finals, I was back working.
Obviously, you'd become a registered nurse in 2013, so you had all the qualifications before going through this process, but I guess it sounds very much like Australia was braced for a bit of a worst case scenario. Obviously, at that point, we didn't know how hard we were going to get hit, and we were probably looking at a whole range of different places around the world where it was just spreading really rapidly and causing a significant amount of cases and deaths in different countries, which was very tragic. And no doubt, I think from what you said, it sounds like in that circumstance, in those hospitals, Australia was prepping for, you know, worst case scenario. Was that what it was like on the front line?
Yeah, and it still is. So there's still, like, before I start a shift, I'm still tested. Everyone gets tested that walks through those doors. It's full on, like, all the protocols that you're hearing on the news, it's happening for everyone. And it's really good that it is, because the unfortunate thing is, yes, we've got cases, but it could be worse. We could be playing catch up. It's horrible what's happened. It happened in Italy where they got hit hard and they had to pay a catch up. Whereas with Australia, they did the opposite. From the minute they heard there was cases, it was like, we need to get everyone that's qualified. And because we got, like, those 2 weeks that I was at home, I was getting constant emails like, can you work? It is scary being there. Like, don't get me wrong, having to gown up and, like, you got to wear the goggles, the mask, the gloves, the gown.
Certainly, frontline workers like yourself and nurses around the world have got a huge amount of respect for the work that they are doing. Has that been pretty inspiring, seeing, you know, people clapping NHS workers in the UK and people on their balconies in Spain and in Italy, you know, really paying tribute to the work of, you know, people across the world that I guess nurses, you know, don't get the same credit that they usually do?
So it's fantastic we're getting acknowledged, because yes, it is hard and it is scary, and we go into the war zone of there's a possibility we might get sick too. So yes, it is nice to get those claps, and you see all the news where it's showing everyone clapping all the medical side of the essential workers, but it's not just us. It's not just us. It's everyone that deserves that applause.
So obviously you've got to wear gloves in both positions, don't you? Obviously as a nurse, as you said, you've got to scrub up, and as a goalkeeper, you've got to put your gloves on. How do the roles, if they do have any parallels or similarities, how do they sort of merge or overlap, and how can you you know, take what you learn in either of those two industries and apply them across either football or nursing? Or is it completely different? Are they completely different worlds?
They overlap a bit. You're bloody bonkers, that's for sure. Yeah, like I said, everyone, if you ask soccer people, they're like, you're a special breed. Like, how can you have a ball kicked at you? But then you go and work as a nurse and they're like, how are you going in there when there's a pandemic on? Like, you're nuts. And so that's kind of crosses over. I think the biggest one is there's always a challenge. Like, with goalkeeping, obviously, you've got to make this save that might be the end of the game or the beginning. Like, it either makes or break your team. So if you've made the great save that's kept your team in the game or kept you in the lead, or unfortunately the ball's gone in the goal and everyone hates you because of it and you've lost the game. And it's the same with nursing, but it's a bit more blunt. You've saved my family member. You've saved their life. You've treated their injuries. You've done all this like great stuff to make sure that they're still here, or they've passed away and you're the one to blame because you didn't save them. So that's the other, I guess, other part that matches as well as being a goalkeeper. You break it all down. There are parts that do match, but obviously there's a big difference in the two different
absolutely. Careers. Yeah, I mean, saving lives versus saving a shot, probably slightly different outcomes. So that's a really interesting insight into both your professions, I guess. But just to finish off, how did you first get into nursing? And then equally, how has the PFA sort of helped support you through that? Have we been able to provide support?
So surprisingly enough, when I got my first injury, so I did my EENs when I was with Matildas for the World Cup in 2011. That was hard, trying to do studying of nursing because you had placement as well as trying to be the best you can be for your team for the World Cup and stuff. But after that, I had that big hip injury. And surprisingly enough, it worked out. Everything happens for a reason, I say. It was the same time that the RNs were enrolling at uni. So I was like, you know what? I'll go straight from my ENs to do my RNs. And that was great. Like, it worked out perfect because obviously the first 6 months of your ACE, of your hip injury, I was just all theory. And then I fast-tracked the next year that I could do all my placements in that year together because obviously I was still injured and I didn't know when I'd be back to soccer. And then I graduated. I was signed with Sydney FC at the time when I graduated. So I was living in Sydney but got a Queensland degree. Had to do that online. And then in 2015 when I did my ACL, I was devastated obviously because that knocked me out for the next World Cup. And I was just like, you know what, I'll go to nursing. And PFA, because obviously being injured, I had no income, they helped financially pay for a month of my mortgage and just get me on my feet to be able to go work until I could pay the loan back. So that was really good by PFA. So that helped me get started with getting my nursing on a full-time scale. And the Nursing and Midwifery Australia actually run seminars, which kind of like how you guys have the PFA seminar over 2 to 3 days. We do the same with nursing, and it's quite financially expensive. And every time I did that, then I was able to apply for the educational grants, which helped fund those, which was phenomenal. Yeah, you guys funded a lot of those seminars for me, which helped me continue my nursing development. And when I started with Melbourne Victory, I did nursing as well as soccer the first season I did with Melbourne Victory. And it was more the PFA delegates you have with the teams that were more, they actually spoke to the workplace I was at and helped me organise only on being on morning shifts. So it didn't interfere with my afternoon training or the weekends when I had games. This was before we played Thursdays or Mondays. So that helped too, PFA being able to step in there and give me some help. But yeah, so there's been multiple times PFA has helped me, and that's why I'm always for when you guys have the leadership camps and I am one of the delegates now for Melbourne Victory player delegates. So like I'm all for every time PFA want to help me out. I've been so grateful. So I'm always trying to help you guys back, returning the favor, I guess.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be where I am now, I guess, without you guys, both soccer and outside of soccer.
Well, it's great to hear that we've played a role, I guess, in some respect to helping your career on and off the pitch. Yeah. So it's great that to hear the story that you've got, and yeah, certainly it's fascinating the work you're doing at the moment. It's really important for the people in Queensland in particular, where you're based at the moment, helping them out. Well done, and well done on a great season last year as well. And thanks for your time today.
It's all good. Thanks for reaching out and allowing me to have my say. Like it's nice.